I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative networks, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, October 27th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is so wild and dystopic at this point. It's almost difficult to conceptualize. I'm sure you probably feel the same way. I've talked about liminal warfare in the liminal space, the continuation of the Gerasimov Doctrine, even though it doesn't exist, and how it parallels the narrative arc. And yesterday I posed the question, you think you're immune to mind control programming, think again. And most of us do. You know, most of us think that we are immune to these things, and I think we started with a fairly innocuous, fairly pedestrian entry point on the subject, that being the Netflix effect and what that has been doing to culture. But this is what Bernays talked about. It's worse than that, though. Far worse than I think most people realize or want to acknowledge. And what do I mean? You're being sort of evasive. Well, recently TrueStream Media has published a few interesting videos that are instructive. The video titled Welcome to the Fifth Generation Psy War. We probably should have played Ghosts in the Machine to intro today's broadcast, but it's worse than that. You know, what does Fifth Generation Psy War represent? It's total war. It's every conceivable aspect of war or domain in view. It is it's total war. It's the war on the individual. It's war on groups of all kinds. And nothing is sacred. And I would say the God of war, the devil himself, is at the heart of all of it. So, you know, I think I touched on some things. Speaking of the Netflix effect, there was also the Bird Box effect. You know, you think maybe of the conversation about white noise in East Palestine, the East Palestine derailment recently, Contagion, the pandemic series, and COVID. There were a number of Netflix movies and Netflix original exclusive series that coincided with COVID. Pandemic explainers, be afraid, be very afraid, and here's why. There's the stuff everyone's talked about with Black Mirror, how it's eerie, how, you know, closely it resembles certain things that happen. I touched on mirror neurons yesterday, suspension of disbelief, what that does and how that lets things in, Michael Kaczynski's work, and the data that turned the world upside down, you know, the Cambridge Analytica stuff, the weaponizing of social media for elections. You know, I think this is a limited hangout to a certain extent, but still it's interesting how elections are, how people's attitudes and behavior are influenced. So I've mentioned historically, if you go back, the short version is the Obama administration figured out how to use social media for vote harvesting. Again, I think this is all a limited hangout, but it's still useful to our purposes in this discussion. So the Obama administration, or the Obama campaign, in 2012 in particular, figured out how to, in the 2012 election cycle, figured out how to harness social media, Facebook in particular, to target certain people for vote harvesting. And then the Trump campaign, 2016, did the same thing in reverse and engaged in voter suppression or vote suppression by doing the same thing in reverse. And then we started hearing about Cambridge Analytica, and then the article came out titled "The Data That Turned the World Upside Down" that explained that Michael Kaczynski could indeed, with a few hundred likes, not posts or things like that, but just with a few hundred likes, apparently, could know more about you than you know about yourself. Then there was, you know, Google's selfish ledger. I think that was back in 2017. Yuval Noah Harari recently. You know, we've played the clips of him. Maybe we'll play one of those today. I don't know. Surprise, humans. You're all hackable animals and probably gay and don't know it yet. But Coca-Cola already knows. Maybe you recall that. We've played some of those clips, you know, Harari. I mean, we've played clips that pertain to a lot of that stuff, but the Harari stuff in particular, we've played a few clips of his horrifying talks. And this is all germane to the discussion of fifth-generation warfare. Michael Lind, who is the guy who came up with the term fourth-generation warfare, says, nah, I'm not buying it. But, you know, I understand his point, but I think that the fifth-generation Psy War, as True Stream Media puts it, is a legitimate consideration and probably in full effect. And at this point, it includes things that, you know, tools that were heretofore sort of unimaginable, at least to most of us. The idea that, you know, like Harari said, all that's necessary to hack you is a little bit of data and some serious computing power to know you better than you know yourself. Who would want to do that? Not just advertisers. You know, again, as George Friedman said in his Breitbart Budapest talk, most of this technology begins in military circles. So, how did he put it? Global war is sitting with you right now. There isn't a global war. If you want to bet that there's a global war coming, I will bet against you any amount you want, and I'll win every time. In fact, global war is sitting with you now, right now. It's sitting in your pocket. I present to you the iPhone, and then he goes through all of the pieces of technology that began, you know, George Friedman, Stratfor, CIA proxy. Goes through all the pieces of the cell phone, the iPhone in this case specifically. Talks about all the technology and how it all begins in military circles. Then finds its way out into civilian life. I wonder why that is. You know? There was the OSINT initiative back in 2004, and all of a sudden Facebook became a thing. There was even a big infomercial called The Social Network that I think came out in 2008 to encourage people to use it, fascinate people with it, because, you know, there were other social media platforms like MySpace. So that's interesting. Anyway, one of the other videos that TrueStream Media has put out recently that I think is germane to the discussion is a thing called is a video they put out titled Flashback, The Long Game Being Played on the Grand Chessboard. Brzezinski is typically known for his book, The Grand Chessboard. And in the video, Aaron Dykes talks about Alfred Mackinder and the geographic pivot of history and the nuances thereof. Brzezinski was a Mackinder acolyte, you might say. And very interested in the Eurasian Balkans, very interested in the heartland, et cetera, et cetera. And then there's the Rimland that Aaron discusses and the conflict. And I think that's really kind of where we want to start today. This idea that by pitting neighbor against neighbor, balkanizing people, and there is, you know, that term Aaron actually uses in the video. First World War, Ottoman Empire broken up, giving rise to the name Balkanization. It was, that's where the term came from. So this is, you know, dividing and conquering in a way, you know, again, heretofore unseen. It's just incredible, the weapons that have been brought to bear on people everywhere. And there are so many things that are happening right now, I think, that pertain to this issue. Another video that's germane to the discussion, friend sent me. I've mentioned If Americans Knew in conjunction with what's happened since, since what happened, whatever it was, on October 7, 2023. But isn't it interesting? The whole world is getting sucked in to the vortex of that discussion. It's amazing. People who, you know, it reminds me of the time, and I've told this story on occasion, reminds me of the time that I used to go and pray at lunch at a local parachurch, and there was a young gentleman who had just come out of seminary, and we were having a conversation, and somehow Kent Hovind came up, and you know, this gentleman's called him a tax dodger, this kid who just came out of seminary. And I said, well, I'm not acquainted with all of the facts of the case yet, and this kid says something about the 16th Amendment. You know, the 16th Amendment says what it says, and so he's obviously guilty. He's been already tried and convicted in the court of public opinion. I guess W.T. Stead was right, government by journalism. So I thought that was remarkable. How is this young man in seminary learning about the 16th Amendment? Part of the clergy response team when as yet there was no such thing, I guess. It didn't start at DHS. You got to go further upstream, I guess. So that was interesting. But everyone's getting sucked into this conversation, whether they like it or not. And I saw an example of this morning. On social media. Gentleman who is a, you know, I would say a charismatic gentleman. I believe that he loves the Lord, to my knowledge. But, you know, a little bit of history, he says. Here's the history, a bit of history. And it's someone else's post. The land of Israel has been populated by the Jewish people since 2000 BC. Here's the timeline. From 1900 BC, Abraham chosen by God. I think we start there as the father of the Jewish nation. And we start commingling terms after that. You know, Isaac, Abraham's son, rules over Israel. Well, there is no Israel at that point. You know, and then after that, Jacob, son of Isaac, rules over Israel. That's not exactly true either. Jacob was the one who had his name changed to Israel. There was no Israel before Jacob, and before Jacob wrestled with God. Anyway, on and on it goes. In 1948, the UN established the State of Israel. There's that gap, obviously. 70 AD, Romans destroy the temple. 1948, the UN established the State of Israel, the nation of the Jews. Is that so? Don't buy the Palestinian lies that they are entitled to the land. It simply is not true. And so, you know, there's this discussion, and somebody posted, Rabbi Weiss speaks out against Zionism at the Expose AIPAC rally in D.C. That's interesting. But I said, my question is, the question I would raise is, what legitimate connection have Herzl, Weissman, Brandeis, Balfour, Blackstone, Begin, Ben-Gurion, Shamir, Rabin, et al., not to mention Bibi, to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob Israel? Zionists are not Hebrews. Like Joe Biden said, you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. And I added, incidentally, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9 is also provocative territory. And I concluded with Genesis 12:7 in the King James. And the Lord appeared unto Abram before Abraham had his name changed by God. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Unto thy seed, or in some translations, your descendants. So someone's telling me that Herzl, Weizmann, Brandeis, Balfour, Blackstone, Begin, Ben-Gurion, Shamir, Rabin, Netanyahu, all these people, these are all descendants of Abraham? This is Abraham's seed? You know, the other day, well, when was that? 2 days ago? It runs together. Yeah, it was 2 days ago, right? Jeremy from Kentucky was on this broadcast during hour two, and we seem to kind of be dancing around the serpent seed doctrine discussion, the so-called serpent seed doctrine. And so at the end of the second hour, I just kind of threw it out there and said, you know, maybe we can talk later about this. He shared his take then, and I joined him later on In Plain Sight later that evening, this past Wednesday. And we did 2 hours, actually. That was interesting. That was fun. And during that 2 hours, I explained that my thoughts on this whole serpent seed thing, you know, John in Tennessee and I used to talk about it, and he would gently raise the subject because of all of the controversy around the subject, I think. He would gently sort of raise it. Isn't it this? And I said, I think, well, I definitely said when I joined Jeremy on In Plain Sight later Wednesday evening that my perspective is that I think it's fascinating that there's so much interest in this subject and that there are so many false teachers and false prophets that are sort of the gatekeepers of the discussion. William Branham is one of them. Not a good guy. A heretic. Apostate. Can Freemasons be Christians, William Branham? Well, you know, you just got to grow where you're planted and go where you're led. So, you know, maybe. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. A different God. The Gautu, the great architect of the universe, is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Unless, you know, during our discussion, Jeremy brought up Acts 17:26, and I mentioned that it was Paul's sermon on Mars Hill. It was the, you know, men of Athens, you know, at the Areopagus. I perceive that in all things you are very religious, or you are too superstitious in the King James. And then he talks about, you know, the statue to the unknown God, the altar to the unknown God. What you worship in ignorance, I will declare to you in truth. So, you know, maybe there's that. I said when we were talking about that stuff, that's bold, man. I think you get thrown out of most Christian churches trying to do that today. You guys have this altar to the unknown God, just in case you missed one or two or nine. Here's the catch-all, just in case. Anyway, this serpent seed deal, I think this discussion about the counterfeiting of Israel, again, I mean, the whole thing, the whole promise, the whole covenant hangs on, it starts with Genesis 12:7. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed I will give this land. And then from there, I mean, you can back up to just a few chapters, Genesis chapter 3, speaking of, you know, this controversy. Thing happens, and then all of a sudden, God says in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, something's going on. And my opinion is that what is happening in Israel specifically is an effort to preemptively counterfeit the return of Jesus Christ in order to mislead and deceive many. And Jesus said, when he was asked, tell us, Lord, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? He said, see to it that no one misleads you. Why would he preface by saying that? It was the first thing he said. Why would he preface with that? And then he said, many will come in my name and say, you know, I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. So, we have this Israel thing. The same forces that created Israel created Saudi Arabia. And speaking of what Aaron Dykes was talking about in the video flashback, the long game being played over the grand, on the grand chessboard. And you know, colliding neighbor against neighbor, the balkanization, we should just play the video. I think we will, maybe in the next segment here. And the creation of this idea, Heartland, geographic pivot of history, the Rimland. I think, you know, one of the things that I thought for sure was going to be a part of the video was this discussion, this pitting of, you know, political Zionism against political Islam. And it's interesting that we've had things out there. To me, it's fascinating. We've had so many spoiler alerts. This is what we're doing. You know, the Dusseldorf rule, saying that they're going to get, you know, the idea, the communist plan is to get, you know, make young people, make young men soft and get them hooked on pornography and vice and things like that. And now we're not susceptible to these things, of course, but it's interesting how many people have commented this year, you know, we're all immune to the influence, except bathing suits in the 1940s are now prom dresses in the 2020s, and mothers and fathers have not forbidden it. Bertrand Russell wrote in The Impact of Science on Society, influence of the home is obstructive, right? Stick around, we'll be right back after this short break.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pauti Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
I think this is, it may seem, unrelated or a stretch, but I think the video flashback, the long game being played on the grand chessboard, is a good addition to the discussion. And you have to realize, I mean, there are a lot of things that we don't realize as Americans. I think our history is poor. We have a poor grasp on history, and why wouldn't we? I mean, we get treated like goldfish. We're constantly subjected to flashy things. One of the latest of which is, the World War III discussion. Some of the latest, I mean, there are so many. But the speaker stuff, Mike Johnson, sit down with Sean Hannity. The Israel-Hamas stuff, the Israel-Hezbollah stuff. It's interesting the correlation to 7 countries in 5 years, finishing off with Iran. Are we having a rinse and repeat of the Iranian directorate stovepiping intelligence for a specific purpose? Precisely how Ralph McGahee talked about in his book Deadly Deceits, published, let's see, 1983, 40 years ago, and he was a career intelligence medal recipient. So basically he stayed in to make sure that no one could say, well, you're just mad because, you know. Nope. He served with honor and distinction, so no one could say that. Anyway, we should get to this. Lots of distractions. We're not good with history. We don't understand the significance and the importance of that area over there. Why is the heartland so important? And, you know, for that matter, speaking of Stratfor, it was the West Wing, wasn't it, that did the episode, wasn't it? Oh, that changed. That's interesting. Yeah. So, Stratfor has the post, A Problem with Our Maps, published back in 2017, that features the excerpt or the quote from Salvatore Natoli. In our society, we unconsciously equate size with importance and even power. And there are a number of different projections that are mentioned. Gall Peters, Mercator, Good Homo Lucene, Mulwide, Mercator. I already mentioned Mercator. A number of these projections. And so, you know, is our significance on the world stage overstated geographically, intentionally, perhaps? And that post now is gated behind a paywall, apparently. But there was also the was it West Wing? Yeah, the West Wing. Season 2, episode 16. Somebody's going to emergency, somebody's going to jail. That one, right? Where they mention the same quote. Gall Peters projection, Mercator projection, et cetera, et cetera. Is the size and significance of the North American continent overstated geographically, is sort of the point. So as Americans, we don't, you know, but we're not, again, we're immune to the mind control propaganda. We're immune to all of it. We don't know that. We don't know our history, but we're immune to all that stuff. So we're not good with history over here, generally speaking. Probably not by accident. We have lots of distractions, lots of shiny, flashy things. The Robert Card stuff is one of those things, the main stuff. That's interesting. Robert Card is an interesting name. Why not three? Why not three names? Why Robert Card? He's not being referred to as the usual three names, but he is apparently hearing voices, complained of hearing voices, had a history of mental illness. FBI probably knew about him. No motive. Wait, he may have been targeting his ex-girlfriend. See, lots of distractions. But the flashback, Aaron Dyke's flashback, the long game being played on the grand chessboard. We are part of it. Fifth generation Psy War is definitely in full view. So let's just start with that video. Shall we flashback? Can we do that, please?
news are actually olds because they correspond to what we expect to happen.
These are the men who unleashed the dogs of war today.
Therefore, a study of the olds is very interesting indeed.
Victory is near, comrades.
Why so many endless wars and conflicts? To understand that, we have to understand what predicates geopolitical strategy. In short, a history to control, dominate, encircle, subterfuge, order out of chaos. It's what the Russians and British have called for centuries the Great Game. It was circa 1904 that Halford Mackinder, the British founder of geostrategy and geopolitics and a member of the notorious London School of Economics, came up with the Heartland Theory, which concerns the Russian mainland. He theorized that he who controls the heartland is in the pivot position to control the entire world. The surrounding rimland was essentially putty to that end. But it was the Dutch-American geostrategist and professor at Yale, Nicholas Spykman, who leading up to World War II theorized the exact inverse, that the control of the rimland led to control of the heartland and thus the larger world island. It's these rimland countries encircling Russia in Eastern Europe, the Middle East, the Caucasus, Central Asia, and the Orient that were key to Spykman's theory of containment that proved so influential in the Cold War.
From the bamboo curtain to the Berlin Wall, we are maintaining our commitments. Standing firmly with our allies against communist designs for world conquest.
But chaos, not order, has been the result. Why? A closer look at Spykman's Rimland reveals the work of opposites at play, pushing against each other in tension and crisis, much like tectonic plates under the Earth's crust. The Rimland is more appropriately known as the arc of instability, a formula of the Hegelian dialectic. Madness and turmoil that has justified the presence of U.S. armed forces and its allies in countless conflicts in countries all around the arc of tension. The Korean Wars, which split North and South over communism.
Operation Killer in Korea grinds steadily forward and northward, where United Nations forces face a new adversary.
Maoist China, where communism conflicted with Chiang Kai-shek's nationals.
The communists have been able to propel Red China to a position of major influence.
And the Taiwan issue, the Tibet issue, Vietnam.
I don't understand. Why? Why Vietnam?
Vietnam, where French Indochina became another communist split between North and South.
French troops are fighting the last battle of a long war over what had been called French Indochina. It's a strange three-cornered struggle. Non-communist Vietnamese fighting communist Vietnamese, and some of both fighting the French.
India and what was once Baluchistan, today Pakistan.
Again in India.
United under Gandhi's vision as a tolerant, secular, multiculturalist state, instead torn into rival states armed with nukes.
The Air Force flew in urgently needed arms at the request of India's government.
Afghanistan, at war with the Russians in the 80s.
We are fighting the same enemy. All the Muslims are fighting the Russians.
Before the war on terror with the U.S.
The most important resource is oil.
Iran, which suffered a coup to oust Mohammad Mossadegh in the 50s.
Developed by British interests, Iranian oil has been the subject of bitter dispute.
Which installed the Shah and saw the rise of radical Islam, the rule of the mullahs, a decade-long war with Iraq, and ongoing tensions with the U.S. Iraq, once a British colony, today a neo-colonial holding, saw the rise of Saddam Hussein, the Gulf War of the 90s,
Our goal was to put them into shock and destroy their ability to defend their homeland.
We attacked all of the strategic targets that I've spoken of, electrical power, communications, air defenses, and so forth.
And the Iraq War of 2003.
Quote, shock and awe.
Shots being fired now in Baghdad. I want our viewers to listen in.
Today it's seen the rise of ISIS and other forms of radical Islam, and there's talk of splitting it into three states between the Kurds and Shia and Sunni factions now that the Ba'athist Party has been toppled. There's also the various Arab states created out of Arab tribes, mostly by the British and the French. Of course, today we're familiar with the various conflicts, civil wars, uprisings, and revolutions in places like Libya, Egypt, Syria, and of course, Palestine and Israel, with Turkey here as a key pivot between East and West.
Our forces hold constant alerts to maintain this frontier of freedom.
In Eastern Europe, the Ukraine has seen conflict both now and then.
1932. Stalin wrote, "The situation in Ukraine is very bad. If we don't take steps now, we may lose Ukraine." The hunger began. Ukrainians were dying torturously slowly.
As has Poland.
The Poles, like the Hungarians, were breaking with the communist system. Political strikes led by the opposition movement Solidarity.
In their drive for world domination, the communists have identified different levels of possible conflict to exploit.
Communist coup in Czechoslovakia in 1948.
And standoffs in Czechoslovakia, which was at the time Soviet held.
Czechoslovakia today became the latest of the countries of Eastern Europe.
It was true people power that toppled the hardline communist leaders here.
And the former Yugoslavia.
Prior to 1914, Serbia and Montenegro formed a single kingdom that was allied to Tsarist Russia. Slovenia and Croatia were part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, whose annexation of Bosnia-Herzegovina led to the assassination at Sarajevo of the Austrian Archduke by a Serb, and hence to the First World War.
Today, it broke it up into several states, giving rise to the name Balkanization.
It demanded Serbian control over the Albanians.
The modern resurgence of the Cold War with Russia has seen tense standoffs with Poland, Ukraine, and Georgia.
The fighting followed months of escalating tension between Russia and Georgia. War erupted on August the 7th, when Georgia began this ferocious bombardment of one of its own regions, called South Ossetia.
Located here at a pivotal point between Iran, Iraq, Turkey, and Russia.
Which he calls wars of liberation and popular revolt, but which we prefer to call subversion and covert aggression. It is these wars which Khrushchev says are not only admissible, but inevitable.
Not only are these constant and evolving tensions an ongoing recipe justifying intervention in the region throughout the Rimland, in some ways these conflicts are made inevitable through the relative artificial mapping of states against the ethnicities scattered throughout the region. As was done after both world wars, after World War I, Mackinder introduced geostrategy in helping to draw the new lines of the countries. Leading up to World War II, Spickman, though he died before the end of the war, influenced the carving up of the world through the eyes of the containment plan. Is the end game near on this larger grand chessboard? The great game goes on between Russia and the Anglo-American Empire. For our sake, let's hope it doesn't end in a World War III type scenario.
And, of course, the recent, you know, so-called Hamas-Israel conflict. I mean, both of those are contrivances, quite frankly. But, you know, whatever you want to call it, those that entry is curiously absent, provocatively absent. You know, some might call the remapping of states because it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Some people might call it multiculturalism. That's what we've seen here, you know. And again, you know, Spengler's Decline of the West comes to mind, and we're going to spread that like a plague throughout the world. Kelly Greenhill is responsible, I think, for the term coercive engineered migration. Gerda Coleman gives her, you know, props, and duly so. And there's also, what's the other thing? That accompanies the Balkanization. It escapes me at the moment. It keeps popping in and out of my head. Anyway, What is really actually happening here? What is going on? What is this all about? It's complete disable. It's just the old simple, you know, ordo ab chao, out of chaos order, and you need to destabilize things. You know, the arc of instability. There are a lot of things that have been written that are interesting. Speaking of this arc of instability, folks like what's his name? Graham Dobell from Arc of Instability to Arc of Responsibility. Joanne Wallace has written some interesting things on along the same lines. The Pacific from Arc of Instability to Arc of Responsibility, you know, R2P kind of territory, and then to Arc of Opportunity, you know, the opportunities of crisis. I mean, it's all the same language, and it's disgusting. And it's, I think, you know, there's a sort of dead giveaway in all of it because, you know, we found out after the fact enough times that nefarious interests were excited about turning things over, and we've heard from the West Clarks enough to know that we should look for arsonists when these things happen. Stick around. We'll be right back.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Gilad Atzmon says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up with the very best evidence the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQRS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What?
Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, I don't.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen to come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
South America is almost double the size of Europe's 3.8 million.
Alaska appears 3 times as large as Mexico, when Mexico is larger by 0.1 million square miles.
Germany appears in the middle of the map when it's in the northernmost quarter of the Earth.
Wait,
Relative size is one thing, but you're telling me that Germany isn't where we think it is?
Nothing's where you think it is.
Where is it?
I'm glad you asked. The Peters projection.
It has fidelity of axis.
Fidelity of position.
East-west lines are parallel and intersect north-south axes at right angles.
What the hell is that?
It's where you've been living this whole time. Should we continue?
Uh-huh.
So, you're probably wondering what all of this has to do with social equality.
No, I'm wondering where France really is.
Guys, we want to thank you very much for coming in.
Hang on, we're going to finish this.
Okay.
What do maps have to do with social equality, you ask?
She asked.
Salvatore Natoli of the National Council for Social Studies argues, in our society, we unconsciously equate size with importance and even power.
And the Bernaysian types have exploited that to the fullest, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. So that's a, you know, that's a weak attempt at humor with a very sobering subject. But we have been deceived and misled in a variety of ways. And again, the clip that we played in the last segment, I think in that clip, Aaron does a magnificent job of giving us a 100 to 200 year history lesson in about 8 minutes. Pretty remarkable, pretty impressive. And it would behoove us all to familiarize ourselves with that history lesson and why it's important, why that area is important, why 7 countries in 5 years? Why do we keep getting stovepiped intelligence? Why is this important? Why should we familiarize ourselves? Because we are paying in blood and not dollars directly, but inflation and, you know, blood directly and indirectly. There is a, who was it that said recently, there's a genocide of the warrior class. I've mentioned in the past that one of the Gregs, used to have the Gregs on a million years ago on this broadcast, and one of the Gregs said that it's a genocide. This state of perpetual war is a genocide of the warrior class. You're constantly sending the bravest out to die or to be maimed and psychologically damaged permanently. That's why it's important. It's a war of attrition, and we are losing. It's intentional. Jack, the late great Jack Otto was right. America was only the land of the free as long as it was the home of the brave, and we have a genocide of the brave class happening before our very eyes. They're being sent to, you know, places Aaron discussed for reasons we don't truly fully grasp or understand. It's imperative that we do. And then there's the inner war, that fifth generation Psy war that's happening to everyone everywhere. It's not reserved to some forward operating space. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.